Magandang gabi po sa lahat. And ako po si James Brillantes at naglilingkod bilang isang intern or pastoral intern sa iglesyang ito. I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you sa mga kapatiran natin sa iglesia for your prayers and generous greetings as from sharing for with our joy and praising God as we welcome yung bagong member ng aming family. We really appreciate it and we are really excited na makasama natin sila. Maka-join din sila sa pagtitipon nito. As you have heard from Tracy Malanao, our text tonight is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. And makikita natin yung background ng story na to sa book of Acts, Acts chapter 17, wherein Paul and Silas were in Macedonia preaching the gospel, or they are reasoning to the synagogue there for 3 Sabbaths. And makikita natin in that book na Paul was proclaiming that it is necessary, why is it necessary for Christ the Messiah to suffer and to raise from the dead? And saying that this Jesus whom he is preaching and whom he is proclaiming is the Christ. And makikita din natin, mababasa din natin dyan, na nag-result iyan na marami ang naniwala sa gospel na kanyang pinipreach. But his ministry was cut short dahil sa mga problema na kinaharap niya and the threat to his life, wherein yung ibang mga Jews were accusing him in front of Caesar that he is proclaiming another king besides a king ng Rome na to. And we can see in chapter 3 that Paul longs to see them. Paul longs to see them and to express his love towards them, but yet he is unable to come. So in his longing, he sent Timothy, his fellow laborer, his fellow brother in the Lord, to establish and exhort them in faith, which is makikita natin yan in chapter 3, verse 2. After hearing the news from Timothy, this compelled Paul to write this letter towards them, to address, to encourage them to persevere in their faith amidst affliction na kanilang kinakaharap. Our main point for tonight is this: a life that is pleasing to God is marked by increasing holiness and love towards others and increasing hatred towards sin. A life that is pleasing to God is marked by increasing holiness and love towards others and increasing hatred towards sin. I have divided this passage into 3 parts. The first one is the exhortation, which is in verses 1 and 2. The second is the call for holiness, which is makikita natin in verses 3 to 8, and the call for brotherly love, which is in 9 to 12. Let's go to our first point, the exhortation. As a young father, and I know that this is true as well sa mga parents dito, we know this, that we need to establish yung tinatawag natin na meron tayong clear rules sa ating bahay. We need to establish clear rules for us and for our children to see, hear, and follow. At ito yung natutunan ko bilang sa ilang years pa lang na pagiging ama. And sometimes, the effective way to reinforce ang mga rules na ito is not by force, but in a gentle and soft tone to encourage them and to remember yung mga rules na ini-impose natin o binigay natin sa kanila. Likewise, in the same manner, in our text tonight, Paul gives a soft, gentle-hearted command sa mga mamang ito, sa mga believers na ito. The rules that he was giving is for the Christian living. Makikita natin in verse 1 na sinabi ni Paul, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk to please God, just as you are doing, that you do more and more." Na sinabi ni Paul that finally, brothers, he is not thinking na kailangan niyang tapusin agad yung sinusulat niya. But when Paul said that finally, brothers, he is about to instruct them. He is going to the section for a practical application ng kanyang, the real intention kung bakit sinulat yung letter na to, that he wants to teach them. Ito yung sinabi niya in light sa chapter 3, verse 10. Yung sinabi niya, to see them face to face. For what purpose? Sinabi niya dyan, to supply what is lacking in their faith. This is the kind of love that Paul has have for them. So ano yung sinasabi ni Paul dito? He is asking, he is urging them to remember yung mga instructions and teachings na itinuro niya sa kanila while he was with them. Paul was pleading them, and notice kung saan nanggagaling yung tone ng kanyang plea dito. Notice the word or the prepositional word in na sinabi niya dyan. That in, yung in na yan, it implies yung kanyang relationship sa kanila. That he himself is in equal standing, equal footing sa harapan ng Diyos, that they are brothers and sisters. He is pleading in that, in light sa kanyang relationship sa kanila. So he's giving his command in the basis of his relationship sa Panginoon. What he's saying is, fellow brothers, my fellow brothers in the Lord, you ought to walk. That they are obliged to walk, to follow the instruction that Paul has preached to them, both inwardly as their personal responsibility and corporately bilang isang iglesia. Now let us pause here for a while. This is the very reason why, as people who have been truly saved by God's grace, who have been reconciled to God, needs the church. Because God did not only reconcile us in Him, but with one another also. Which is yung kanyang iglesia, tayo yun. And if you are not a part of a church, two things that you might be doing clearly here. The first is, we are being disobedient to God by not doing our responsibility to obey His word personally and neglecting our responsibility sa kapatiran. Ito yung sinabi niya in Hebrews 10:24-25. Sinabi niya, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Another thing, if you are not a member, if you are professing that you are a Christian and you are not a member of a church, so if that's so, it also means that we are receiving a different instructions. And clearly, yung instruction na ito is not coming from God. It is coming from a different person. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, God's church, our elders, our community leaders, our brothers and sisters in the Lord who are mature, the Bible is God's means of grace to give, and in giving us His instruction, in giving us His word for us to follow. At kung hindi ang salita ng Diyos ang pinapakinggan natin at isinasamuhay, then sino at ano ang batayan ng ating pamumuhay o paglakad bilang isang Kristiyano. Another reason why Paul is urging them to remember yung instruction na kanyang ibinibigay, kasi sinabi niya dito, that it pleases God. It pleases God. Sinabi niya, it pleases God just as you are doing, that you do more and more. Paul knew that these Thessalonian believers are already outstanding sa kanilang pamumuhay in pleasing God. But yet, Paul wants them to surpass. Paul wants them to increase and to abound more sa area na ito. Well, this is the truth and the goal of our Christian living. And that is to please God. Hindi po ito na after you, that we have been received and become part ng isang iglesia, our obligation is already finished. Sa halip, ito po ay isang lifelong, continuous duty ng isang Kristiyano. Paano natin gawin ito? Well, be part of the ministry. Be intentional to our brothers and sisters. On the topic of pleasing God, may iba or some quest and try a different ways. And religion just to know and to seek the right way kung paano i-please yung Panginoon. Mga kapatid, the scripture itself is the explicit, gives us the explicit reasons and evidence about this. And the only way is that to be reconciled with Him through His Son. At wala na pong iba. Look at how Paul solidified this in verse 2. Nung sinabi niya, "For you know what instructions we gave you through our Lord Jesus Christ." You can see here that Paul's command and his desire is not coming from him alone. But he is pointing that this desire, this command, and his authority is coming from God. By which, makikita natin dito, Paul has proclaimed and continually proclaiming to them. He is not saying here that you need to listen to me because I am an apostle. But he is putting into remembrance, since sinabi niya in chapter 2, verse 13, that when you heard from us, you have accepted it not as a word of men, pero nung sinabi niya, but what is really is the word of God. Hindi po ito nanggagaling kay Paul mismo, but Paul is receiving it and he is passing it to them. Mga kapatid, what are God's instructions in our life right now that we are defying and or disobeying sa buhay natin? Is there anything right now in your life that does not glorify God? Bilang isang empleyado, are we defying God's word by engaging ourselves with work that does not glorify Him? Or bilang isang asawa, what are the things that we do that defies God's word sa ating role, sa ating marriage life? In the following verses, we can see here, Paul unpacked how we can practically please God in our personal and corporate life as a church. Nakikita natin dito in verses 3 and 8, which is our second point, the call for holiness. Paul starts here, and sinabi niya, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." In verse 3, nakikita natin dito, Paul begins with a reason again. Nung sinabi niya yung prepositional na for, which links yung verse 3 na to in verses 1 and 2. Yung verse 3 na sinabi nila that our sanctification, that this Thessalonian believer's sanctification is God's will. To what? Nakikita natin yan in verses 1 and 2. It has one message. It tells the reason, the very reason, is to please God. Mga kapatid, God's concern is not just in heaven, but now. How we, His people, His church, should live, and what does it look like? It is His desire that every time that He is looking at us, He is being glorified, He is well-pleased, He is honored sa buhay na kanyang mga anak, sa buhay na kanyang iglesia. And to help us understand yung word na sanctification, sinabi ni Dr. Wayne Grudem, he defined that sanctification is a process, is a progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our lives. So this is the will of God. If you are asking, what is the will of God in my life? This is it. Your sanctification, our sanctification. Tingnan natin how Paul laid out yung foundation ng principle na to. Let us look at, if you have your Bible with you, please open in chapter 1, verse 4. Paano niya ni-laid out yung sanctification na to? In chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says that these people, also us, are loved by God, that He has chosen us. That's election. 1 verse 5, that they have received God's word not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. God changed our hearts from heart of stone into a heart of flesh. In chapter 1, verse 9, Paul talks about their conversion. Nakikita natin dito, nung sinabi niya, how you turned to God from idols, being worshiper of idols, now turning to God to serve this living, mighty and powerful God. Now here's my point, mga kapatid, in putting this all together. That it is impossible for one person to please God without this. Ang mga bagay na to na sinabi ni Paul in verses 1, 4, verse 5, and verse 9. Without God's electing us first, without changing our hearts, without turning away from sin and turn to Christ, sanctification will not happen. Ito din yung sinabi niya in Romans chapter 6, verses 19 to 22. But in beginning of verse 15 to 22, we can see here that Paul is using the illustration ng isang slave. Sinabi niya, para ipakita kung paano tayo bilang mananampalataya ngayon ay pinakawalan mula sa kapangyarihan ng kasalanan at ngayon ay alipin na ng Diyos. Ito yung sinabi niya in verse 22, na slaves of God, na yung fruit, the fruit that we get leads to our sanctification. So the question is there any fruit in our lives that can attest, that can testify of God's salvation, of God's work of salvation and sanctification sa buhay natin? Can people around us identify or see the difference sa buhay natin? They can say that this person is really a Christian. Now in our text, Paul gives a list of implication ng sanctification na to. Una, sinabi niya dito that you abstain from sexual immorality. During their time, sexual immorality is very rampant. In fact, it is part of their cult worship sa Roman Empire. Now, Paul, the word Paul used here for sexual immorality in Greek is porneia, which is fornication. Or sexual immorality, adultery, it includes yung bisexuality. Or anything that defiles oneself through sexual activity outside the bond of marriage. Moreover, nakikita din natin in Matthew chapter 5 verse 28 that Jesus, sinabi ni Jesus that we also commit adultery in our heart by looking intently or maliciously to someone. That's hard. Mabigat to. In our generation now, social media is flooded with provocative pictures and videos. Casual sex is normal, or for some, it is being encouraged. Paul faced the same issue, or even worse, pa sa sitwasyon niya. But when he wrote this to the Thessalonian believers, he is telling them to abstain from sexual immorality. What he meant here is that they should intentionally separate themselves sa bagay na to. The same thing na ineko niya in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 18, na sinabi niya, flee from sexual immorality. This suggests of an active response of every believer to flee or to run, that our actions should set us apart from this kind of sin. Mga kapatid, it doesn't mean that if our culture permits such practice, tayo na mga Kristiyano should observe it also or approve this. We should not define what is sexually permissible in our own understanding or perhaps sa kultura na kung saan exposed tayo. Rather, our basis and understanding of sex should spring out sa kung ano ang sinasabi ng Diyos sa kanyang Biblia. So how should we abstain from this kind of sin? Tingnan natin in verses 4 to 6. First thing, in verses 4 to 5, sinabi ni Paul that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Notice how Paul draw a line between a non-believer and a believer in facing this sexual temptation. The word Gentiles here does not refer or necessarily na a non-Jew. Although this is true, yet the context suggests that these are non-believers. Hindi po ito mga mananampalataya who does not know God. Well, Paul's appeal to these Christian believers that they should know how to possess, how to control their body. And the word to know God is the key for abstaining from sexual immorality. In the Old Testament, pag sinabing mong know, the word know, ang ibig sabihin ay intimate. The same language used in Genesis chapter 4 verse 1 when Adam knew his wife, or sinabi dyan, nang sinipinga ni Adan ang kanyang asawa. In the same sense, every Christian has the power to fight and continually possess yung katawan natin, our own body, against sexual sin through a constant and intimate relationship with God. Kapatid, how's your affections towards Christ right now? Is it increasing, or it is running cold? Without God's word, we are putting ourselves in danger, not only in this kind of sin, but every type of sin that our enemy is throwing upon us. For a person who does not know or does not have personal relationship with God, they thought that this activity, sexual immorality, is pleasurable, is liberating, enjoyable. But let me tell you this, that the Bible speaks about this as useless. Nakasama dito ang God's judgment, that in the sight of God, this is sin. We can see here in Romans chapter 1, verse 26, but allow me to read to you yung verse 24. Yung sinabi niya, therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring their bodies among themselves. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do in futility of their minds. Now, but if you are struggling with this kind of sin, or perhaps enjoying yung kasalanan na to, let me tell you this. This is not what you think na pleasurable. This is not what you think that is enjoying. Because the truth is, the fact is, you are under the slavery of sin. Look at Paul. Look at how Paul encouraged these Thessalonian believers and handed them yung warning dito in verse 6. Sinabi niya, that no one transgress and do wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all things. We are told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. The statement is strong here. The statement is strong concerning sexual purity. Here Paul makes a point that sexual immorality does not only violate God's law, but it also defiles yung tinatawag natin na sanctity na marriage. That we are hurting others who are involved in this kind of sin. Some must argue na, we are just enjoying this at wala na kaming nasasaktan dito. But the Bible is very clear that sexual activity outside the bond of marriage between one male and one female is sin against God. Hebrews 13, verse 4, yung sinabi niya, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Right, sexual activity is God's designed gift for married couple to be enjoyed and adorn God with it. And Paul's strong warning to those who disobey the law is an assurance ng kanyang punishment, ng punishment ng Panginoon against sa ganitong kasalanan. And God can use the law of the land to execute yung kanyang punishment. Romans 13 verse 4 talks about this. For he is God's servant, the government, for what? For our own good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the one who carries out God's wrath to wrongdoer. God is using the government para i-execute yung kanyang punishment. God can also use yung tinatawag natin na church. But in some cases, God can call us, use of the church to call us out from this sin. But in some extreme cases, that is to remove a brother who is deliberately sinning against God. The church has the responsibility of executing God's punishment. Third, God someday will return and will judge sin, including itong kasalanan na to. Mga kapatid, let us not wait, and I urge you, don't wait for the final day that we will not have a chance to repent from our sins and be reconciled with God. Paul adds another reason why this Thessalonian believer should renounce yung immoral act na to, which is in verse 7. For God has called us for impurity. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. So this is the reason why we need to struggle in fighting sin or this sexual sin na ito. Kasi bilang mga Kristiyano, hindi niya lang tayo tinawag o niniligtas sa puot ng Diyos, but He intend to make us holy and to be fully devoted to Him alone sa buhay natin. This is what Peter is telling in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 to 16, na sinabi niya, But as He has called you, is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I is holy. So this responsibility is very true also sa atin bilang isang iglesia. We are committed to link arms together with each other to protect yung testimony ng Panginoon ng God's church to the watching world and to call one another when needed. Paul, in verse 8, put another layer of authority sa verse na to. Look at this. Since sinabi niya in verse 8, therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives His Holy Spirit. Paul concludes here that whoever rejects the call for sexual purity and holiness rejects not Paul, but you are rejecting God. But on the other hand, this reminds us that God did not only give us yung kanyang salita, yung kanyang word, but along with it is the third person of the triune God, which is the Holy Spirit, who is infinitely holy and our promised helper who helps us to remember everything that God has taught us through His word. Ito yung sinasabi sa John 14, verse 26. Sinabi niya, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The same thing na in-echo kanina sa binasa ni Kuya Jovan sa atin, which is in Ezekiel chapter 36 to 27, which is God's indwelling Spirit is with us, sa mga Kristiyano, to obey. For what purpose? To obey His word, so that we can follow Him. If we are truly submitting to God's will for our sanctification, this work is not impossible. In fact, this is possible that we will die from one degree to another from our passion or from the passion of our flesh and evil desires, for God has given us yung kanyang Holy Spirit. Mga kapatid, could it be in contrary? Nang kawalan natin ng takot o kalungkutan against sexual impurity is evidence that we do not have the Holy Spirit in our lives. Could it be, or shall we say, that we are still fighting yung kasalanan na to alone and saying na naandyan naman yung Holy Spirit? Yes, totoo po yan. Pero totoo din sa buhay Kristiyano natin that God has reconciled us not only to Him, but with His people, which is the church. So there is no reason for us to say that we don't have any chance to stand against sa kasalanan na to. We have the Holy Spirit. We have one another. We have the church to link arms with you, to walk with you, to fight with you sa kasalanan na to. And that is loving. That's the loving, that is the kind of love na meron yung church para sa isa't isa, sa mga kapatiran.
Let's look at our last point. Our last point is the call for brotherly love, which is in verses 9 to 12. Maybe you are wondering kung bakit sinama ito ni Paul sa kanyang sinulat dito o sa kanyang topic about holiness or pleasing God. The reason is because our love toward others becomes pleasing only to God if it is marked with holiness. So that if our love is marked with holiness, everything that we do para sa kapatiran is coming, is not coming from evil desires, but from our desire to please God. Paul addressed this issue because some of the brothers in this Thessalonian church have abandoned their work at umaasa nila sila sa mga mayayamang miyembro sa iglesia. Perhaps this issue springs out dahil sa mali nilang interpretasyon sa second coming. Paul encouraged this idol ng mga kapatiran to work from their own hands to show their love for them. Verse 9, sinasabi niya rin, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another." Verse 10, "For that indeed is what you are doing to all brothers throughout Macedonia." Paul started in verses 9 to 10 to commend and to affirm yung faith ng mga mamang ito. Because of their love that is so evident towards their fellow believers in Christ. And Paul said that there is no need for him to write instruction on how they should love. He's not saying here na hindi na nila kailangan or they already arrived sa in complete or in perfect sa area na to and doesn't need encouragement and reminder. But Paul here is pertaining to God's work of placing His love through the power of His Holy Spirit. Na yung pagmamahal na ito is born out of His covenantal love towards us when He chose us, when He sanctified us, when God forgiven us and welcomed us to be part of His family. Ito yung makikita natin in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 to 34. Sinabi niya, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." These men and women in Thessalonica are marked with this kind of love, their work of faith became well known throughout Macedonia. This is extraordinary in the type of love. But Paul is urging them to do more. Indeed, there is no stagnant, there is no plateau, a type of love sa Panginoon. He wants us to abound more increasingly sa pagmamahal na ito. Mga kapatid, is our love toward brothers and sisters in Crossroads is increasing that we are ready to be moved to do more just to show and model Christ's love towards them. In verse 11, "And to aspire to live quietly and to mind their own affairs and to work with their hands as we instructed you." Isa sa mga problema ng iglesyang ito ay hindi lang yung pagiging tamad nila bilang sadyang tamad ng mga miyembro at umaasa sa support ng mayayamang kapatiran. This even created a greater issue that they are not only idle, but in their idleness, they started to see and voluntarily involve themselves in someone's personal matter. But the question is, does this mean na mali ba na tumanggap ng tulong galing sa ibang mga kapatiran? Does this text imply this? Ganun natin intindihin ito? Well, hindi po mali ang tumanggap ng tulong. In fact, mas mali na magkunwari tayo na hindi natin kailangan ng tulong. But if we are intentionally dependent in the help of others and choose not to work with our own hands, na meron namang opportunity na magtrabaho, then we are not being loving sa mga members or sa mga kapatiran natin. Instead, we are being a burden sa kanila. And moreover, we are only showing that we are placing our faith on a person and not on God who gives and created work as a means of grace in providing ng ating mga pangangailangan. Another issue that Paul addressed here is hindi lang ang pagiging tamad nila, kundi yung pagiging pakialamero. Pakialamero nila sa trabaho at sa buhay ng iba. Kung saan Paul addressed this further in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 15. Paul said in verse 11, sinabi niya, "For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies." Yung busy bodies po means a troublemaker. Kaya kung wala kang trabaho, nakikita mo, napupuna mo yung iba. A busy bodies means troublemaker or gossiper. Do we see yung sitwasyon nila dito? Eh, hindi lang sila tamad, wala silang trabaho, pero namumuna at pinapakailaman nila yung trabaho at buhay ng iba. Mga kapatid, try to think yung effect ng tinatawag nating chismis. Try to think the effect of it sa iglesia natin, sa mga kapatiran, sa flatmates natin, and even sa ating pamilya na lang. Chismis is not an act of love. Instead, in doing this, we are destroying the relationship where we as a Christian can habitually practice dinatawag nating pagmamahal. And in doing this also, we are forfeiting the opportunity to share the gospel sa mga non-believers. As Christians, we are not to be known as troublemakers or chismoso or chismosa. Rather, we are to be known as people who pleased God, who works hard and talks truth in love sa bahay man natin o sa ating mga trabaho. Look at how Paul encouraged them sa kanyang example na pinakita sa kanila. In chapter 2, verse 9, sinabi niya, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We work night and day that we might not be burdened to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel." It's like Paul is telling them that remember this, mga kapatid, that we did not only preach the gospel, but we lived it out. Hindi nyo lang ito narinig, kundi nakita nyo mismo ito sa pamumuhay namin. Paul's admonition is not only fixed in encouraging them to live it inside or within their community, but his eyes is also extended sa labas. Nung sinabi niya in verse 12, "So that you may walk properly before the outsiders and be dependent to no one." Mga kapatid, how we behave inside the community of believers is our evangelism and testimony of God's sanctifying work and glory to the outsiders. The question is, what kind of testimony we are displaying to others? Is our behavior outside our community adorn Christ and the gospel? But the sad thing is, we fail to heed and to walk properly, pleasing God. Rather, we openly indulge ourselves with sin, with every impurity and evil desires, which separates us from a holy God. And God, in His holiness, will surely punish yung kasalanan na to. But God, in His mercy and grace, has sent His Son, the Word who became flesh, to free us from every form of sin. And on the cross, He was separated from the Father, bearing our sins on His body to die the death that we deserve. And on the third day, He was resurrected to bring hope of reconciliation so that the unholy, you and I, can become holy through faith and walk a life that is pleasing to God. Mga kapatid, I urge you to repent from your sin and believe what Jesus has done on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. A life that is pleasing to God is marked by increasing holiness and love towards others and increasing hatred towards sin. And part of affirming ng ating a Christian witness, tonight, we as a family are going to observe yung tinatawag natin na communion. Ano ba ang communion at bakit ginagawa natin ito? Jesus commanded us to remember the gospel by observing the ordinances of baptism and Lord's Supper, o itatawag natin na communion. Both, it is meant to be a picture, a visual display of the good news of Jesus Christ. Ang baptism po ay ang unang ordinansa. This is a one-time symbol of our individual entrance into the body of Christ. And ang communion naman ay ang pangalawang ordinansa na kung saan it is an ongoing celebration of the unity that we are enjoying together in Christ through His death and resurrection. Sa communion, at tinapay ay larawan ng katawan ni Jesus that was laid down as a sacrifice. At ang saro naman, o ang cup, symbolizes His blood that was shed for us, for our salvation. We have the privilege of celebrating this wonderful meal together this evening. The Bible gives us instruction and a warning as to who should take part in this ordinance of the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 to 29 says, "Kaya ang sino mang kumakain at tinapay at umiinom sa kopa ng Panginoon sa paraang di nararapat ay nagkakasala sa katawan at dugo ng Panginoon. Kaya't dapat siya sa atin ng tao ang kanyang sarili bago siya kumain at tinapay at uminom ng kopa. Sapagkat ang sino mang kumakain at umiinom nang hindi kinikilala ang kahalagahan ng katawan ng Panginoon, at ay kumakain at umiinom ng kahatulan laban sa kanyang sarili." If you have repented of your sins and believed in the same gospel that you have heard preached tonight, we invite you to participate in this meal with us. If not, we would encourage you to let the bread and cup pass. If you do profess faith in Jesus and are joined to this church, but are engaging in an unrepentant sin, we encourage you to let the bread and cup pass. Scripture warns us that there are severe consequences for this who take this meal, which symbolizes our unity in Christ, while at the same time holding on to sin that divides us or divides you from Christ's body. Use this time, mga kapatid, use this time instead to repent of your sin and seek the unity that comes through Christ for forgiveness and grace. Now, before we take part, let us now take a moment in silence to remember what Jesus has done for us and to pray and reflect on our own lives to see if we might take part in the Lord's Supper in a way that is honorable to God. Let us pray. Let the bread and the cup be nourishing to our souls today. Would the cross of Christ be to us the wisdom of God and the power of Almighty Savior as we meditate on the promise of eternal life. And Father, would we as a church uphold Christ as the cornerstone of our lives? Would those things that so easily entangled us be confessed and put away with, that we may exalt Christ in all areas of our lives? It is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.